It's 94 days to the 2024 presidential and parliamentary elections. Good evening and welcome to Newsnight. In the next 60 minutes here, the controversy and tension at the University of Cape Coast takes another twist as a Central Regional High Court restrains Professor Nyako Buampong from holding himself out as a vice-chancellor of the university. We have details tonight as lawyers of the university and the vice-chancellor contest the decision and file a stay of execution at the same court. Also tonight, growing calls for President Akufo-Addo to declare a state of emergency on endangered water bodies and rivers under siege from illegal miners as Media Coalition Against Illegal Mining backs the Ghana Water Company's call of entrusting the fight in the hands of the military.
Let's test the resilience of our military and see whether that problem will not be resolved.
So we, our proposal is that a state of emergency be declared on the water bodies and then the buffers that are concerned.
Plus, the Water Resources Commission boss discloses that the country will run out of water in the next 8 years. We're live across the country to gauge the extent of devastation of illegal mining in the Ashanti, Western, Eastern and Central regions. You want to stay for that. And the Ghana Police Service is tonight beginning investigation to unravel circumstances leading to the alleged stabbing and killing of an 18-year-old student of O'Reilly SHS by his colleague. We have details as father of the deceased threatens legal action against the Ghana Education Service.
The family is going to hear from them. So the family want to hold on for that 2 weeks and hear what they'll come out with. If they don't come out with anything reasonable, I think we'll take the legal action against them.
And we'll hit the campaign trail events much later. Whilst the NPP flag bearer tours the Okaikwe constituencies in the Greater Accra region, the APC outdoors a running mate. CPP votes to retain Anasapong Kumankuma as flag bearer, while the PNC's upcoming Congress suffers an injunction. Plus, the NDC flag bearer mocks government for the lack of rainfall this year.
Bank of Ghana looks at tight monetary policy and fiscal consolidation to help sustain city's good run.
And it was Black Stars head coach Otuado says he's anticipating a tough challenge against Angola on Thursday, but confident in his boys to deliver the 3 points.
And we have our climate focus series. Also, experts are saying the devastating blow of the ongoing dry spell should serve as a wake-up call about Ghana's failure to prioritize irrigation.
Unfortunately, it was supposed to be across so many villages and it was a bit overwhelming. If you can even have just 4 places where you can have irrigation scheme, it will help.
You want to stay for details of that and more here on Newsnight on Joy 99.7 FM here in Accra and Kumasi. We are on Love 99.5 FM live on myjoyonline.com, on X Spaces and all our social media platforms. Hit us with the hashtag Newsnight. Also, via WhatsApp, you can send us your messages at 055-1111-997. I am Emefa Apau.
And my name is Evan Spencer. And it's a strong push tonight for President Akufo-Addo to declare a state of emergency on endangered water bodies and rivers and the siege from illegal mining companies.
Well, the Ghana Water Company, we've heard them issue a warning of halting production due to significant disruption of illegal mining activities and attacks on its staff by perpetrators. Well, the situation is already dire, with water generation already dropping from 70 to 40% nationwide. Already, we are hearing also that activities are now affecting the Dainsu River, which is the main source of production for the Ghana Water Company Limited. Residents in these communities are in a state of despair following the damage done to their livelihoods.
When the mining was not done in the Pra River, we were using it to do all our chores, including drinking it. All we needed to do was to put in camphor. We were using it to cook and wash. Everything has been destroyed now.
In the beginning of August, we saw some Chinese people working outside the forest reserve. They crossed the Tano River into the forest to do illegal mining. The forestry people, after 2 weeks, the forestry people came to drove them away, but they left their machines on the road.
Well, we've been hearing from the Lands and Natural Resources Minister, Samuel Abujinapo. He was on the Super Morning Show today, and he served notice of a major crackdown on Galamsey hotspots following the disruption in water supply, especially in the Ashanti and Central regions.
We are going to have the review today, and I'm 1,000% certain, and I can give you a firm assurance that we're going to ramp up our enforcement measures. So all these places you are talking about, we're going to have a cleanup there. We're going to have a complete soup. We're going to send law enforcement agencies to take a soup of that whole stretch. And not just there, so many other places, particularly the central region. We're going to do that. You can be rest assured of that, and you can monitor that. As I say, Operation Halt has never been a continuous operation. It's always been a surgical one. And whenever we find that there's a particular place where there's a rise in illegal mining, or there's a rise in activities and PDT and the rest, we move them in. We're going to conduct the review today, and within the next 24 hours, we're going to find the resources and move them.
We'll hear more from the minister on this particular situation and the intervention. He talks about a stakeholder engagement also that will be happening shortly. But the managing director of the Ghana Water Company, Evans, we've been hearing from him in our latest hotline documentary, Poisoned River, actually asking government to entrust the military with the responsibility of protecting these endangered waters. And today, we've also been hearing from the convener for the Media Coalition Against Illegal Mining, Dr. Kenneth Ashigbe, backing that particular call.
He wondered where we went to sleep, that now by the side of the road, when on that Accra-Kumasi road, you can see the Galamsey actually happening. You wonder where we want to sleep, where now on the, if you go onto all our major water bodies, there are some farms that are sitting on the water body. What has happened to our, the drones that we got? You know what now the most of these illegal miners do? When they get into this forest, they actually jam the area so that you can't even fly a drone into the space. Yesterday, I was with Evans. The Water Research Institute, they are not even able to, Water Research Commission, they are not even able to send their people to go and take samples to measure. So, you see, Galamsey is a national crisis, but has local, solutions. Mm. So by now, we should be asking of the DCs, the MCs, the police commanders in these communities, what it is that they are doing. But the Media Coalition, we're regrouping again, and we're grateful for multimedia especially that has kept this particular fight going on and up to this particular point. But we are reorganizing, and we're happy that generally now all the media are focusing on this particular issue and raising it up. Next week, we're hoping to have a press conference. Okay. Now we don't want to get other people standing behind us and the media at the forefront. We're going to be calling on labor, we're going to be calling on our chiefs, we're going to be calling on the churches. We all need to come to the front and tell the president that currently the current president is the one in charge. We need to deal with this, the issues of our water bodies. So our proposal is that a state of emergency be declared on the water bodies and then the buffers that are concerned.
So that's the convener of the Coalition Against Illegal Mining.
Well, Ken Ashigbe mentioned that he was with me last night. Indeed, he was. We were on PM Express yesterday on the same subject. And a few revelations there. The Water Resources Commission revealed that now the Galamseyers are now preventing the scientists who work for the Water Resources Commission from getting close to the river bodies to take samples to test for turbidity. And they have erected barriers with armed men that are now manning the water bodies. So the Galamseyers now are policing the water bodies, preventing the officers of the Water Resources Commission from taking the samples to test if the water turbidity is good enough. They are now having to fly drones because the Galamseyers are not allowing them to access the water bodies anymore to measure the turbidity based on the color of the river. That's how bad. They're circumventing the Galamseyers to do their jobs. And then he also tells us that the prediction that we will run out of treatable water, it had been estimated based on the numbers that we could reach that point as early as the next decade. He says that can come way earlier than that, based on what they're seeing, and that the water turbidity levels we're seeing in Ghana is the worst in the world. They haven't seen it anywhere else in the world apart from, say, South America. But even that, it says it's not as widespread in terms of the totality of the water body that they have there. And that is what he is pointing to as the next crisis. And we also clear that we can't even import water anymore if that happens, because our neighboring countries have their water bodies that enter into Ghana. Right, and so it's not like they're actually now looking at how we can get water to them. So when that time comes in less than a decade, we cannot go and lay pipes, say, to Burkina Faso or to Ivory Coast and ask them to sort of get us water into our own land. Listen to Dr. Bob Alpha.
You already mentioned some of the figures in terms of the turbidity values. This is very common across the southwestern area. You mentioned some of the areas, and the picture is very gloomy. It is frightening, in fact, to put it bluntly. I really hope, and like the previous panelist said, it is not just about hope, but we need to keep doing something to trigger the change that we all need. I can tell you, it has a cascading effect not only on the water supply, but the economy of Ghana, the lives of people. And we have a small group of people who are making millions out of this. And to paraphrase what you put as your poisoning people in this country, it is heart-wrenching to even think about it. And the impudence in which they operate, not only within the buffers of the rivers, but they operate in the rivers. And they have their own personal security to even prevent regulators from taking data of the water to analyze.
I mean, is that happening to you?
Yes, of course. My men go to the ground. We measure turbidity values almost every week to see areas that were much better. What is the situation? But there are some specific areas that you can't even have access to. And
well, when you say don't have access to, what do you mean?
They have barriers, security posts, where you will have to show your credentials or the reason why you have to, access those areas. And sometimes we have to navigate our way to be able to get to the river and take samples. There are times we have to rely on satellite images. Using the color of the water, we are able to correlate and determine the values of the turbidities. And it matches very well with areas where we have direct access, that we can actually take samples to the laboratory. So we are all on the same page.
And what you say, what you say is not only shocking, you use the word frightening, I want to borrow it. Because now the Galamseyers are preventing the scientists from testing the turbidity of the water.
Yes.
And they are erecting barriers and making it hard, I believe, with threats of harm.
Exactly. And sometimes when we persuade them that we are only coming to take samples, but we are not coming to stop the Galamsey, then they may allow us to go and take the samples. But that impudence is beyond imagination, Evans. We all know the problems. What we need to do now is to look at the solutions. We have talked about these problems for so many years, and we cannot continue describing the problems all the time. It is beyond imagination. Like the Ghana Water Company official said, turbidity levels are not even supposed to be more than 500 NTU. And we had that in this country before. We managed the water resources in a way that we had turbidity levels below 500 NTU. Now we are going beyond 14,000. This should be the worst in the world.
There you have it. And this is the acting executive director of the Water Resources Commission saying that our water turbidity readings and units that we are getting, highest in the world. Can you imagine?
That's serious. And did he say that they have to seek permission from these illegal miners to be able to do their work?
Yes.
Where are they getting this confidence from? Now who is empowering them?
The water body is theirs.
Yes.
You need permission to access it.
And they are beating water company workers, amongst others. Really, where is this confidence coming from?
Yeah.
And it's been reduced to which government was able to pollute the water better than the other. Interesting. Let's touch base with our correspondents on this. And the hashtag is hashtag no to Galamse. And of course, Erastus Asare Donko, GGA Journalist of the Year, has been leading the team on this particular situation and this campaign. Well, Erastus has gone back to some of the areas he visited last year on this particular situation. Erastus, paint that picture for us.
So what we're just talking about, we found similar things on the Ankobia River, and we spent about 4 hours on the Ankobia River fact-checking claims that the river has cleared up. Now, you find people mining in the middle of the Ankobia River at various points, and they feel that the river belongs to them. One of them we learned on our trail went to a chief and said he wants that portion of the Ankobia River sold to him so he can continue to mine on the river. And we find all these things similar. When you go to the Tano River, we are just from there about 3 days ago. You have a mining company full of Chinese nationals that has pegged its washing bay.
Wait, Erastus, please, yeah, give me some clarity. You are saying that this illegal miner went to the chiefs asking that part of the Ankobia River should be sold to him.
Yes, a particular portion of the Ankobia River where he thinks there is so much gold in that area. He wants it sold to him to become his property.
I see.
Yes.
What else did you find?
We went to the Tano River in Samraboy, and as we speak...
And Erasmus, just a second. I mean, no wonder we're hearing the Water Resources Commission boss say they are now erecting barriers to the riverside. Yeah. Because it is possible that people now believe it's theirs.
On the river, we found. In fact, if you go there to the areas called Awolenzo, Duale, those in the Mara towns along the Azim coast on the Ankobia, that those who are still mining directly on the riverbed as we speak. But what is happening at Samraboy is baffling. It's criminal. It's evil. You find Chinese nationals aided by their Ghanaian collaborators, and they peg the washing bay at the edge of the Tano River, and they are washing the mining residue directly into the river. And we have those footages we're going to show in subsequent days. And this is just evil to know that this is contaminated stuff and they are washing it directly into a major river like the Tano. And we are seeing this across the Pra River as well, at Chifu Pra, so Chifu Kotochi area, sampan machines sitting directly on it. Now the Ofin River in Ashanti region is gone. It's lifeless. The other day we flew the drone, we counted about 300 of the champagne machines sitting directly on it. Those who are mining alongside it and washing their residue directly into the river. With so much impunity, it looks as if they own the resource. And one particular chairman of a political party I will mention, he told me, in Pi, and in translation, currently what are we doing with the river? And he wants to tell me that we have to spoil it. At least if you spoil it and get gold for now, it will clear up later in future. And that's the mindset of the people who continue to perpetrate some of these nature crimes.
I really can't take any more from you, Erastus, on this particular situation. But let's check on the situation in the eastern region. Thank you, Erastus. Kofi Siao has also been checking on the situation in parts of the eastern region. Kofi Siao, tell me the situation is better there.
MFA, it's a very sorry situation in the eastern region. If you've used the Kumasi, Accra Kumasi Highway, right from a town like Achim, Osino, to a place like Asaman Tamfoy, and you name and its surrounding areas, you could clearly see that these illegal miners are mining openly in the full glare of everybody. So I'll be surprised that law enforcement agencies and you know, political power wielders will come to deny that they haven't seen anything like that, because it's open. Everybody sees it when you're in a vehicle traveling from Accra to Kumasi. You see these illegal miners mining along the Accra Kumasi Highway, and it's a very sad situation, because one wonders why we all see these illegal miners destroying our water bodies, but no one seems to care about the situation.
Kofi, thank you very much. And yesterday, something else that the Ghana Water Company rep on PMS says, the statement that was issued was about Central Region, Cape Coast to be very specific. Mm-hmm. He says they're going to issue another statement about the Western Region, because they're having the same issues there, and that the plants there are now, they're risking shutdown because of the silt in the water, and that 60% of the water that you treat right now in that part of the country is silted. So they only have 40% to treat for you, and after the 40% they treat for you, they can only salvage 40% of that, and that 60% they have to throw away, because it's, no matter how much they spend to purify it, it will not be safe for you to drink.
Yeah.
So they'll just have to, you know, waste the 60%, and 40% of what will come to your tap. Now, the difficulty with that is, if you go to 2022, the Ghana Water told us that at the time, if they purify the water, they only get 50% through your taps. 2 years on, it's dropped now to 40%. What it means is that in 2 years, 10% of the water that we are now trying to purify is no longer able to come to your tap, because the Galamsey had made it too dirty for the chemicals to purify for you. So if you've lost 10% in 2 years, and you have, and that's the calculation that led to a decade we'll be running out. In the next 8 years, on the average, now you're losing 10% of the water you purify every 2 years. In 8 years, you would get to a point where when they purify the water, they wouldn't get anything for you to run to the tap. And that's why the Ghana Water Commission, the Water Resources Commission, is making the point that when you look at the turbidity levels, if it continues, you even have to wait 8 years for that to happen. And that for the machines they use to purify, the 2,000 NTU is actually too high for them. They were actually built for 500. And we are now having 14,000 NTU. So let's go to the Western Region, where INA is, and we're expecting to hear from the Ghana Water Company as far as that is concerned. Well, INA will join us subsequently.
Okay, but we can hear from the Speaker of Parliament on this, as well as the National House of Chiefs shortly. But this is what Speaker Alban Bagbin said yesterday.
The people you are talking to are aware. It's not that they are not aware. They are aware that some of you are participating in it. So please, first, desist from doing it yourself. Don't go to them for the money for your campaigns. Don't go to solicit their votes. Let them see you work. Truly, it's a disgrace that we've gone to this far. Look at the water. Horrible. But that is no problem. It's only expensive. Well, annually, the water we get as a country can refill all these rivers. But how do you do away with what has already been polluted? And the environment, how do you repair the damage? That is the challenge we have. But God has blessed us with so much water that on an annual basis, we get water more than what we have now.
So that's a national crisis that we've been talking about. The Galamsey menace is back with a vengeance, actually.
And his assertions were validated by the lands minister himself when he came on the Super Morning Show today, indicating that the fight is more often than not hindered by some elements in the opposition and his party as well.
Ramp up your enforcement measures, you put in operation halt
you start to demobilize excavators and burn, if you want to call them, burn them, or demobilize equipment used for illegal mining. These same elements goes into the communities and tell them, look, when we come into office, we'll allow you to mine freely, indiscriminately. And this is on tape, it's on video, high-ranking opposition officers on video, on tape. You have another situation where when you ramp up your enforcement regime, then you have elements, some elements, and I say this with qualification, not all, some elements in the ruling party who say, well, the minister is trying to, is taking measures which will cost us the elections, the minister's actions is going to result, or the government's actions are going to result in the ruling party losing the elections and this and that. And then the truth also is that you have elements too, whom when you clamp down on them, they will come to you and make a lot of noise about how the party is being too draconian on its measures against illegal mining. But from where I sit and from where government sits, we do not have to be perturbed by any of those considerations.
Well, so that's the Lands and Natural Resources Minister, but of course, we still need answers. That is not enough. Stakeholders' engagement, not enough. What exactly is the next way forward?
And
the
yesterday, Ken Ashigbe's group, that's the Media Coalition Against Illegal Mining, they indicated they're now mobilizing,
mm-hmm.
and part of the things that we'll be doing, hold the press conference, but secondly,
yeah,
hear the streets. So you're mobilizing to hear the streets to demand action from the political duty bearers immediately. They're
we haven't
not waiting.
Hit the streets in a while, but this one, we're going all out.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, delayed rains in 8 food-growing regions have resulted in government's desperate moves to guard against food insecurity. But agriculture economist Dr. Robert Adu says the impact of drought on food security is only a symptom of the long neglect of irrigation in the country. From Kumasi, Nanaya Ojima brings you today's edition of Climate Focus.
Most farmers were expecting their crops to be ready for harvesting in August. Unfortunately, most crops have failed to fruit due to prolonged dry spell, with farmers losing their investment. Dr. Shalom Adodanso, a senior research scientist with Ghana's Forestry Research Institute, explains the vulnerability of farmers to weather changes and climate variability.
The temperature is increasing, rainfall is becoming erratic. But now you have a situation where sometimes you have a very intense rainfall, but within a short time, then it can also be accompanied by dry spell durations.
Agabuga in the Pro East district of the Bono region is among the worst affected communities by the dry spell in the country.
We're expecting rains in June and July, but it never came. The maize should be fruiting by now, but it is not. The weather does not support farming. It may lead to shortage of food on the market.
Walking through the farm, the soil is dried up. Most of the maize plants here are turning brown from the green leafy ones normally noticed with healthy plants. Jacob Naja weaves through his yam farm as he hopes for the rains.
We farm maize and granites as well. They are all not doing well now. This year, we'll need the government support to cater for families. We pray they have pity on us.
To many farmers, poor irrigation continues to be the bane of productivity. Agriculture economist Professor Robert Adu, however, explains poor implementation of the irrigation program has negatively affected efficiency.
The idea was fantastic because if those dams were working, then at least those in those communities will have access to water which they can use to irrigate. Unfortunately, it was supposed to be across so many villages and it was a bit overwhelming. I think that going forward, if government can focus, then within, let's say, a district, if you can even have just 4 places where you can have irrigation scheme that is working, it will help.
Dr. Adodanso says farmers would also need to diversify their livelihood investments and reduce their exposure to climate risk.
Their imprint on climate change is also reduced so that the practices that they are doing does not lead to increase in the release of greenhouse gases. So, for instance, using different varieties of crop is very important. Cropping at different times, so like crop rotation. These things that in the past, our farmers, they know already, but the only thing is that we back it with the science.
Few months to the 2024 general elections, the two leading political parties who have played active roles in governance are proposing solutions in their manifestos. For Joy News, Nana Chima, Bono East.
And Climate Focus on Joy News is brought to you by Youth Bridge Foundation and Climate and Development Knowledge Network. Another edition of Climate Focus will come your way same time next week. It's time for business. George Riafe is here. You're getting ready for the demonstration against illegal mining.
Definitely. Well, coming up in business, Minister of Public Enterprises advocates for privatization of ECG to address pricing and revenue challenges, and Bank of Ghana looks at tight monetary policy and fiscal consolidation to help sustain city's good run. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Synthes Tanks and Pepsodent, Hebal Echako.
Who had a spunky new office to congratulate him on opening his business. And man, was I impressed. The business is just moving quick. The sales, customers, everything is just working seamlessly. The secret, he said,
it's MTN Business Broadband. In this fast-paced environment, we need fast and reliable internet to support all business types. No laggy online meetings, great download and upload speeds, impeccable business management systems, all inclusive. I mean, you can have it all.
Shout! I signed on immediately.
To enable your business stay ahead and stay connected, make sure you're signed on to the best internet made just for businesses. MTN Business Broadband. Sign up today on broadband.mtn.com.ga. and manage your account on my MTN app. Call 0244-308-111 for more information. We are good together everywhere you go.
Hooray! Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited's back to school promotion is here with us once again. From August to September this year, Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited is giving a generous 10 to 20% discount on all school items like textbooks, pens, pencils, erasers, exercise books, and much more across all our branches in Accra, Tema, Kumasi, Takrade, Winneba, and Cape Coast. Parents, teachers, and students, please hurry while stocks last. For more information, call us on 0506-487-557 or 0302-764-209 or via email at info@kingdomgh.com. You can also visit our website www.kingdomstoreonline.com. Kingdom Books, where quality and affordability are both assured. Terms and conditions apply.
We have a new leader in town, OBRNT. I'm on for me. Don't want to see the brain. When you say my baby, maybe mama more charcoal for whiter teeth. More charcoal. Not only that, maybe mama lemon. More lemon. Zinc for fresher breath. More zinc. And fluoride for stronger teeth.
Introducing the new President Charcoal packed with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth. Grab yours now. This advert is FDA approved.
They're luckiest.
*712#
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah. They're luckiest.
*712#
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah.
Doctors,
nurses,
barbers,
drivers,
bouncers,
friends,
teachers,
bankers.
You could be the luckiest. You could be the luckiest.
Go.
They're luckiest.
*712#
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah. They're luckiest.
*712#
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah.
Doctors,
nurses,
barbers,
drivers,
bouncers,
friends,
teachers,
bankers.
*712#
You could be the luckiest.
Welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, the Bank of Ghana has revealed that it will stay on that path of a tight monetary policy in the coming weeks to help sustain the city's recent recovery. There is more in this report.
The revelation could mean that the Bank of Ghana will still go ahead with measures that will help maintain tight liquidity on the market. This could result in some policy rate hikes in the coming months to help control the amount of money in circulation. The Bank of Ghana believes that this move may go a long way to ensure we don't have too much CDs in circulation that could fuel dollar purchases, as some individuals may take steps to hedge against inflation. The central bank also believes that this approach of the tight monetary policy will help in bringing down inflation rate on the market, which has been on the downward path in recent times. The Bank of Ghana is also looking forward to government pressing ahead with policy measures to control its expenditure and raise the required revenue that will also help in dealing with confidence issues about the economy. The Bank of Ghana is also signaling that it is committed to improve dollar support for the market through its auction programs. It believes these measures should help sustain the recent gains made by the Ghana Cedi.
And that is a Business Desk report. Now, businesses and consumers are not that optimistic about the outlook of the economy. Now, that's according to the latest consumer confidence survey released by the Bank of Ghana. Now, this has been influenced by the high food prices and concerns about the outlook of the economy going forward. Now, this is despite assurances from government that it will be prudent with expending this year to help contain the budget deficit and overruns. Meanwhile, economist Dr. Presley Chimusi-Bafo maintains that a lot more needs to be done to stabilize the city to deal with the concerns of businesses.
The sustenance of the exchange rate, I will say that it means we need to limit the extent to which we are dependent on imports. And so, for example, are there conversations, are there attempts for us to, for instance, produce a lot of the things that are not very important yet imported into the country? We know that, yes, some classes of imports, there's nothing we can do because we do not have the expertise. I believe that as a country, we should get back to basics and produce some of these things to ease the persistent pressure on the city.
Economist Dr. Priscilla Chumesi-Bafo. Now, the Minister of Public Enterprise, Joseph Kujo, is making a strong case for the privatization of the District Company of Ghana to deal with losses when it comes to power sold and also some enhancement of efficiency. The minister maintained that pricing issues and also impacting it badly going forward with respect to the operations and also the impact of the foreign exchange losses. He believes that going this way may go a long way to deal with the challenges facing the company. He made these remarks on the sidelines of the Ghana Gas 2024 roundtable discussion in Accra.
Are we able to make that key decision that the service delivered by ECG is an economic service? For that matter, ECG is supposed to pay dollar bills or generation when it comes to power generation in the country. What goes into it by way of fuel and equipment and everything, dollar base, and then against a CD revenue, which is subject to depreciation, and we are not doing what I would call right pricing. If ECG were a private company, looking at its own circumstance, it would be very easy to manage.
Joseph Kujo is the Minister for Public Enterprises. The government has justified the proposed 1,000 Ghana Cedi as compensation for farmers affected by the dry spell in some parts of the country. It follows criticisms that the proposed support does not even meet a quarter of their investment cost. But the Greek Minister Brian Achampong says the money is part of a total package the government is working to extend to these farmers.
I'm saying that I'm going to give you all the seeds that you require to replant. So everything that you lost in terms of maize seed, improved maize seed, and fertilizer, I'm going to give it to you. That in itself, okay, it's about 4,000 Ghana cedis per acre. I am also going to give you 1,000 Ghana cedis in addition. I am going to give you food grants, because when you harvest, you are supposed to keep it for 1 year. You put that together, that is not 1,000 Ghana cedis. You realize that the government actually, or maybe punching above his body weight.
Brian Echampon is the Minister of Agric. Let's turn our attention to the stock market and persons that have invested in the market from January to now have made a return of almost 39% higher than comparing it to treasury bills and other investment instruments on the market. And that's all for business on Newsnight.
We do some of your messages that you've sent in via WhatsApp, and I'll go through some of them quickly. And this one here says, the Galamsey fight requires a concerted effort rather than leaving it to the government to fight it, which at the end of the day, NDC members are also on the ground edging them on. So that's Nana Ekwuemoa Mwating, Ablikuma Central. We're hoping that this politics is sickening, this politics about Galamsey and who did it best and who did not do it well. Really, really sickening. Stephen in Tema says, how do the president and the subordinates feel when they watch the TV and listen to the radio reports of the harms Galamsey is doing to this country? He has seriously failed us and the generations to come. Mm. And this one from Nana Spintex Road, we'll take that.
I have Douglas, rather, in my list. And Douglas says, since we live in a country where laws do not work, and people simply do not obey what the law says, how on earth is Ghana Water Company now asking permission from the Galamseyers? And well, it's not the Ghana Water Commission, it's the Water Resources Commission that is now asking permission from the Galamseyers. Is this serious? Why can't any government stand firm to fight the Galamsey? Or the Galamsey people, are they saying they're stronger than the government? Let the military take forces into the forest, he says. Douglas sent us that one.
And Nana's message says, did we hear Anodonpre comparing NDC and NPP, the contamination of our rivers? Such a, okay, please, as citizens aren't interested in who is overdone or who is polluting our waters. Currently, our rivers are muddy and NPP is in power, and we want them to be honourable as they claim to be. And Daniel Kutswati from East Ligon says, in fact, Ghana has lost the fight against Galamsey. No amount of words will change that. It's only God who can save us from this situation. It is not God. It is you and I.
Well, the Ghana Education Service has instituted a two-week investigation into incidents that led to the stabbing and killing of an 18-year-old final year student of the O'Reilly Senior High School here in Accra. The deceased, Edward Bokete Saki, was alleged to have been involved in an argument and scuffle with a colleague student who allegedly stabbed him multiple times in the chest. According to reports, he was rushed to the Lekma Hospital, where he was reported dead. Now, Director General of the Ghana Education Service today led a delegation to commiserate with the family, assuring that the matter will be dealt with. The GS has just released a statement, and my colleague James Abdeji is here with details of this. What is the GS saying?
Yes, Evan. So this is issued by the PR department, and it says that they hope to conclude their administrative investigations within 2 weeks while the police service handles the criminal investigation. The GS says it is pleased to report that calm has been restored to the campus of the school, and they are working to ensure the well-being and safety of all students and staff. The GS remains committed to providing a secure and conducive learning environment for all students, and will continue to work tirelessly to prevent such incidents and ensure the safety of student and academic work on all campuses. They also go on to urge the public to refrain from speculations and allow the investigative process to unfold and provide updates as they deem necessary when it is available, signed by the PRO of the Education Service.
We've been hearing from the father of the deceased.
Yes, he spoke to the media right after the engagement with the Ghana Education Service. He says they will give the GS the time they want to use for the investigations. If after that justice is not delivered, they may take a legal action against the Ghana Education Service.
I want to give them the benefit of the doubt with what they are, how do you call it? What did he say? The man.
Director General
said. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt that we should give him 2 weeks. The family is going to hear from them. Mm. So we want the family want to hold on for that 2 weeks and hear what they'll come out with. If they don't come out with anything reasonable, I think we'll take the legal action against them. Yeah, according to what he said the school have rules, but everything will go under 2 weeks. The school will do their investigation, what caused all these problems, together with the police. Okay, fine. It's law, so we have to give them that chance for them to do all their investigations to know what caused the death of my son. So uncomfortable. I'm so messed now. So much in pain. I'm not expecting this. It has happened.
Meanwhile, the Municipal Chief Executive for Lejokoku, Mordecai Kwashi, says while investigations are ongoing into the case, steps are being taken to ensure safety of teachers and students following that protest from residents.
Clearly, there are security issues with the school that we need to take care of in order to empower the school to take charge of security and the discipline. So the first actions we will take will relate to these two things. Immediately, we are going to also the home of the deceased young man to go and solidarize with the family and express our sympathy and condolences. Our purpose right now is to calm things down and reduce the tensions so that the students can finish their exams in peace. We also will reassure the family that the investigations are ongoing and that the truth will be established in relation to all what they have heard. You can imagine how traumatic an event this is for students who are writing exams. Indeed, some wrote exams immediately after the event. Your guess is as good as mine in what state of mind the students would have been in. And so counseling is ongoing to help them to deal with the trauma of this event. So it is ongoing.
So that's the MC for the area, and we await the outcome of this particular investigation that has been instituted by the Ghana Police Service. Let's do sports. Musbal, what do we have?
The 2025 African Cup of Nations qualifier, Black Stars in action tomorrow against Angola at the Babara Sports Stadium. And ahead of that, head coach Otuado has been speaking, and he's issued a strong warning to his players to avoid underestimating the opponent as they prepare for the game. He believes that the Angolans are a very strong side. However, he's also confident in his team's chances in the game tomorrow.
Ramp up your...
You can keep ministers and members of parliament out.
As for years with this coach, and it's going to be very, very tough. If you see their last results, also playing against Cameroon, a draw. They lost only by one goal to Nigeria, one goal to Morocco. Then you can see what quality this team have. So it won't be easy for us. We have got good players as well, very good players. So I'm convinced that we can beat them, but it won't be easy. And also we had some injuries. But I think the squad is ready. We have a lot of players who can match up, and the rest. So we have more which are injured. I wish them a speed recovery, and then we see how the season goes when they can come back.
Well, that's Otto added there. And apologies for the earlier sound there. Well, head coach for the Angolan side is already raising concerns about officiating. He says that Ghana did benefit from some what he describes as unfortunate officiating in the last game against Central African Republic. And his side is wary of that, but charging the officials to be bold despite the very strong atmosphere they will be under at the Babara Sports Stadium.
I care because everybody watched the last matches, and even the last match again against the RCA. If you ask me the name of the referee, I don't know. But for sure, we are worried about, because in the last match, a lot of things happened for Ghana. Yeah. for sure it's important the referee be brave and courage about the atmosphere for tomorrow.
Pedro Congaf is there, the head coach for the Angolan side. Ivan Zasa for Sports. The game is at 4 p.m. tomorrow at the Babara Sports Stadium.
And thank you very much, Ms. Bauer. So live here on Newsnight is on Joy 99.7 FM. Now, only on traders who relocated from Agogloshi to Ajinkutuku. Others morning raising concerns about the worsening plight since the relocation 3 years ago. The poor nature of the road to Ajinkutuku, low customer turnout and inadequate infrastructure, among others, is making it difficult for them to thrive in their new location, forcing some of them to return to the Agogloshi market. My colleague Sweetie Abochi spent some time with the traders and filed this report.
The onion market here at Ajinkutuku is a lively hive of activity as trucks unload sackloads of onions to be distributed to intermediaries, wholesalers, and retailers. But in the midst of the hustle and the bustle, stories unfold. First, I spoke with Alhaji Masawudu, the chairman of the Onion Sellers Association at Ajinkutuku. He expressed that while the new location is manageable, there are three critical challenges hindering their progress here.
Okay. We have sanitation problem, we have bad road, and then the patronage. That's the three main issues. I mean, when we are talking about the road, it's a big problem, a big issue. From the main road, they are doing the road. And if you reach mid-year, from mid-year to Ajinkutuku, that's the worst problem. And if you reach from Three Junction to Ajinkutuku, that's the worst problem. And then right now, all the trucks pass through mid-year to this place. Some of the trucks got spoiled through the mid-year route to Ajinkutuku. We often go and find a towing car from police. Yeah, to tow this truck to here. Because if they are passing, you will see the shaft and then the springs, and then every time you pass there, you will see a broken car. And then one day you see there is no truck. If the women come and buy, they don't have a car to take them to their destination. Instead of, we will have 8 trucks yesterday. All of them spoil on the road.
All of them?
All of them spoil on the road. So we have 3 trucks. So the remaining will bind with today's one, and then they will come. You see the patronage will come.
Patronage.
The patronage is simply because of the bad road. People are coming, but if you come here today, you won't come tomorrow. Because how the car will shake you and then everything, and then...
Meet Forgive, Dinah and Mercy, 3 onion sellers from Dodowa and Adam, who regularly buy sacks of onions at wholesale prices here and retail them in their communities. Their experiences as regular buyers at Ajinkutuku are a mixed bag.
If it's a challenge, it's baby. Lori fe na kosro niamo nu so everyday no mo tusu bebe aye du se cause kwai nu so enye cars nu da ka beba bebre nu de obo so e beti so amom se ka short pe no mark ma increase scan nu enti cars ni ti me don so.
I think the market at Agogloshi was far better than here because it was a more centralized place for onions. That means more trucks, more onions at relatively lower prices. Now it is more like survival of the fittest, so we are the ones suffering. We are only appealing that the roads be fixed because it will fix most of our problems.
Yes.
At Agogloshi, we could get a bag of onions for 300 cedis because it was more centralized. But because of the roads and the resultant increments here, we get a bag of onions for 1,500 cedis.
From 300 cedis to 1,500 cedis?
Yeah, 1,000, 7,000, 8,000 now. Right now, almost 100.
800, 700.
From the drivers, the very pivotal role in this whole value chain, the people who transport the onions to and from here at Ajinkutuku.
Yeah, ubetuto ma bi wa from what fa niam akra we dey quarter kwa no from haba market.
Loading things from here to Takwa and other places is such a terrible experience. The potholes are death traps, especially from media to this place. If you are not lucky, you will need to repair four springs by the end of the journey. Meanwhile, spare parts are so expensive. By the end of the week, you are either buying a tire or spring. Sometimes when the cargo trucks break down, we have to go and bring in the goods.
Maybe beyond 200 necessary say some back. And say no be best time because as I said on some man van ya be bia. And da ho and I hear brewer hand so there. And there is better.
Well, that's my colleague Sweetie Abochi's interaction with traders and drivers at the Ajin Kotoku market. The MCE for the area, Clement Wilkinson, says the challenge will be resolved soon.
That road has been given to a contractor, and the contractor have done a lot within the township, which Ajin Kotoku, the people of Ajin Kotoku, is aware of what the contractor is doing. But the main road has to be asphalt road. So we are trying to do something like a two-lane, two here. So that is the design that we are asking them to do now, as we speak. But because with immediate action that people are need of that road, we have asked the contractor to do the single lane that has been given to him. And the vice president was there last week. He said it to the people of Ajin Kotoku because there is a children's hospital which has been built, and he was there for inspection. And very soon they will finish. So he asked myself and the regional minister to speed up on that Ajin Kotoku road.
And that's the MC for the area. Let's get into the election headquarters.
Election headquarters is brought to you by Petrosol Platinum Energy, Energizing Dreams, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, CIMA, and the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, AICPA, together as the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental, Wellness and Beauty, Chopbox Technologies, a convenient service, and Youth Bridge Foundation, bridging the gap for positive youth development.
Another campaign trail tonight. The NPP flag bearer, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, has been touring the Okankwe constituencies here in the Greater Accra region and set to address a rally. We know that in the Bono East region, flag bearer of the NDC, John Mahama, continues his four-day tour and has been mocking government, especially the lack of rainfall, and as a bit has been following him.
John Dramani Mahama's Bono East tour began with a mini rally with the chiefs and people of Amoma in the Kintampo South constituency, where he used the opportunity to outline some key messages in the party's 2024 Resetting Ghana manifesto.
Our manifesto includes provisions for every region with plans to allocate large tracts of land for factories. Some of this land will be offered to private entities, which will in turn create jobs for everyone in the region.
And we know that Dr. Hassan Ayariga, the APC's Dr. Hassan Ayariga, also has a running mate today, Dr. Wolasi Mensa. Already he's been firing both the NPP and the NDC. And now to the camp of the CPP also, the party has retained Nana Sapong Kumankuma as the flag bearer. Well, the